2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be speaking on the subject this morning, what does it mean to be in Christ? Good to see you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold all things are become new. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we hear this question that Paul lays out. It's not really a question from him. It's a statement. But I'm sure, Father, that many of the billions of people throughout the ages that have read this scripture wonder in themselves, what does it mean to be in Christ? So, Father, we would, by your grace and by your message that you have brought to us in this hour, help us to understand, Lord, what Paul is saying here in the Alpha, so that we might, in the Omega, have a clear understanding of what it means to be in Christ. Be with us, Father, as we proceed forth with thy word, anointed, Father, to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So what does Paul mean when he says, if any man be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Because Paul tells us that if we are in Christ, then we become a new creature. And the old things have passed away, and all things become new to us. So what does Paul mean, first, by saying, if any man be in Christ? And also, how does being in Christ make all things pass away? And what does that mean? And also, by being in Christ, all things become new. So what is meant by all this, and how do we be in Christ? How can we be in Christ? I mean, Jesus is a man, right? How can we be in him? Now, these are very good questions, but the only way to really understand them is to first of all understand what Paul means by if any man be in Christ. Jesus himself spoke of our being in him in John 15 and 5, when he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Again, we're looking at, is it the man speaking here, or is it the God that was in the man? Because the man could not possibly say, I am the vine and you are the branches. How do we plug into a man? Right? It's the God that was speaking from the man. So what is meant by abiding in him? He says, we know that the word abide means to dwell or to remain, but why would Jesus say, if you abide in me? Again, it's not the man speaking, it's the God. So what does he mean? Again, in John 17, when Jesus is praying to the Father for all the believers, he speaks of our being one with him in the same way that he is one with the Father. And he makes a statement in verse 23, which we do not understand. If we do not understand what he's saying, we'll have no clue as to how we are to be in Christ and Christ be in us. Because remember, if you're strictly looking at a vessel, how can you be in that vessel? You can't. So what he's saying here is something that is far more, far greater. And we find it in John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Now, the question is, 99.9999% of everyone that's ever read this has no clue what he's saying. Fathers, as you sent me, I'm going to send them. How did the Father send Jesus? The same one that sent him went in him. The same Jesus that sends you, he promised to go in you. Now, we can't be looking at a vessel. You see, we must be looking at the God who lived in that vessel. Otherwise, these things don't make any sense to us. From what is the Holy Ghost program? So the Spirit of God in his church is for what? What did he do it for? This is a little on tomorrow night's subject, but what did he do it for? Why did he? What did the Holy Spirit, what did he come for? What did he come
in you for?
What did he come in me for? He was to continue the works of God. So if he didn't come in you to continue the works, then it didn't come the same way it came in Jesus. So if John 14:12 is irrelevant to you, then so is the God life irrelevant to you. You see? It was to continue the works. He said, why did he come in you? Why did he come in me? To continue the works of God. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. I come not to do my own will, but the Father that sent me. And the Father that sent me is with me. And as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Oh my, the Father sent him, went in him. The Father that sent Jesus came in him, worked through him. The Jesus that sends you goes with you and is in you. We're not talking about the vessel of the Son of God. We're talking about the Father of the Son. His name is Jesus also. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And if that Spirit living in Jesus Christ made him do and act the way that he did, you'll have the same, you'll have some general idea how it'll be when it's in you. You see? Because that life cannot change. It'll go from body to body, but it cannot change its nature, for it is God. Remember, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. So he says, if that God life, that part of God that is in me doing the works that I'm doing, is in you, it's got to do the same thing. Or you don't have God in you. Now that brings it right down to John 14:12 is very, very important. Because if you just negate it altogether, say, well, it was in God's prophet, and that's good enough for me, well then God, the Holy Ghost being in God's prophet is good enough for you too. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there's no rapture for you. Now for blasphemous gains, he said the church is the mystical body of Christ born of the breath of God. Did you get it? The church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathes breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostals, or the true Pentecostal church, is born of the breath of God? Let me read you something just a minute, just on that. Let me see just a minute. St. John, I believe it is, where I'm going to, and we'll find out whether the church of God is or not. St. John, let's see. I believe that's about 16, 19, 20. All right. Here, I believe we'll have it right here. All right. Let me read you and see whether the church is born of the breath of God or not, like Adam was in the beginning. Now watch. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, and then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now watch. The Father that sent him went in him, and Jesus, when he sends a disciple, he goes in him. Same one sent. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He did exactly what God did to Adam, exactly what Elijah did to the boy who was dead, exactly what Elisha did to the boy who was dead. Malachi did, Martin did, Columba did. All of them use the pattern of the Father breathing life into the Son to bring forth life. So Jesus did as the Father did. He breathed upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. That's how they could take him with them. Receiving the Holy Life, the Holy Ghost. Church born of the breath of God. Now, from why it had to be shepherds, Brother Brown said, now notice, he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. The Father that sent him went in him to confirm the word. And the same Jesus that sends his people goes in the people that he sent. That saying, the works that I do shall you do also. What did we just read? If you got the Holy Ghost, then God will confirm His word in you. That's John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do also. Sure, He prayed that we might be one with Him, not one with an organization, not one with a system, but one with God. For God and His word is one, and Jesus and God was one. And you and I and the word must be one. That's right. We must be one in agreement with that word. Not what somebody else says. This is of no private interpretation. Take it, what it says, and believe it. And God will vindicate it and prove that it's right. You think it's just for the disciples only? Well, there's your modern day thought. Take His word for it. Go try it once and see. You'll find out that it will work for you just the same as He promised. My challenge to you. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And Brother Brown said, he's saying that to the believer. He said, the believer is anyone with the Holy Ghost. You believe you got the Holy Ghost? The next step is to you to say, Father, I believe that the works that was in Jesus will be in me. And I'm asking you to confirm your word in me. That's for any of you. That's not just for me, the preacher. That's for any believer. And you say, God, every day you wake up, Father, it is my will to do thy pleasure. It is my will to live for you. Father, I pray that you would bring a scene from your Bible, right from your Bible, into my life today. That I might confirm your word is the same yesterday as it is today. And you watch. Because if you have that in your heart, not to glorify yourself, but to glorify His word and to see His word manifested. Because as we preached last week, you have no clue what the word says until that word is manifested. Brother Ramsey, God interprets His word by bringing it to pass. The bringing it to pass is the manifestation of the word. Now you have no clue whether you are manifested bride until you see the word of God in you manifested. Then when He does, it brings solace to your heart. That not only does God hear your prayer, but He's there to confirm your prayer. Bringing your prayer and that word together. As years ago, I prayed at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you know, I began work at 9. I usually about 8:30 get there by 9. And I had a meeting that morning with Smith Klein Beecham, which was the world's largest vaccine manufacturer. I was going to be working on a contract with them. And so I prayed at 7 in the morning because just the night before I'd gotten the 1996, I believe it was, no, 1999 version of the message of the table. It wasn't called the table at that point. It was just a message search engine. And I was doing the beta testing for Brother Neil. And I noticed they had cut out the thing that Eddie Biscoe's group had done, where you could actually listen to the entire message. They had it so you could listen to the quote one and a quote at a time, and they had done a link to make it so you could listen to the entire message. We didn't have that capability. Now you people today, you're young, but you have the privilege that we didn't have in those days to be able to listen to the entire message, unless you got out a tape, put the tape in. And the tapes, you know, they only lasted so long, and sometimes they get turned over, and, you know, it was just very difficult. Today you have it all in data. It's wonderful. But in those days, I was working with Neil, and I was doing beta testing for him, and I noticed that it didn't work that way anymore. They're taking that out. It kind of upset me. When I get upset, I go to prayer. And I pray and I said, Lord, if you give me the opportunity or the means to get 50 laptops, I'll load them up with everything. Pictures, the entire message, everything. All the text, the voice, everything. And I'll get them to 50 churches around the world. I didn't know 50 churches around the world at that time. And what did the Lord do? 2 hours later, I'm at this meeting, and the regional director, he says, you know, I before we begin this morning, he said, I was on the phone with headquarters this morning at 7 o'clock. Well, that's interesting because I was in prayer at 7 o'clock. And I said, well, I was in prayer at 7 o'clock with my headquarters. I said, go on. He said, well, he said, we've got several thousand laptops from all of our salespeople around the country, and we're getting ready to flip them. We're going to get rid of them and get them new ones, updated technology. So if you know any nonprofit organizations looking for laptops, let me know. And I'm thinking, okay, at 7 o'clock I was asking God for laptops. So remember, he said, before you even pray, I've got the answer. God was working over here when I was praying here. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the way it ought to be. When you're praying, God is working out the solution. He's already worked it out. He's just waiting for you to ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly that your joy might be full. And I said, well, you know, I was praying 2 hours ago to my headquarters, my father, and I was asking him for 50. He said, you want 50? He said, you want 300? You can have 300. I said, well, I don't know about 300. I don't even know that many. But, you know, 50 would be fine. I said, go and throw some in for parts. So a couple weeks later, my wife and I rented a van. We drove out, picked up 86 laptops. And from there, it began international ministry where we go and bring laptops to people overseas. We've given over 350 laptops so far and about 100 telephones or cell phones and all kinds of recording devices. And so the Lord really opened the door. It's brought me to 58 countries. And you know, Brother Brian had a gift of healing. Well, God gave me a gift of laptops, and that's how he got the thing started, you see. But if you have a desire to please your Father and just to be about your Father's business, just ask. Ask. We have not because we ask not. You know, so many people have no experience, no supernatural experience in their life. And many people say, oh, stay away from that stuff. Why? Why would you want to stay away from a supernatural experience? Because God is a supernatural being. The problem is God is a supernatural being and he has natural children. And the natural children are so tied to the five senses that they don't give too much insight to the six senses and the sixth sense. But we are two-thirds spirit. We're spirit and soul, and then we have a body. The body is just a housing for your spirit and soul. You are actually a supernatural being. Brother Ben said, he says, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have enough power within you to create worlds and go live on it. And go live on it. So, do we believe that we have that power in us? Or do we not? Do we believe God's word, what he said? Or do we not? That's just the question that we're laying out for you this morning. So, Brother Ben said, for God and his word is one, and Jesus and God is one, and you and I and the Word must be one. That's right. We must be in agreement with the Word, not what somebody else says. This is of no private interpretation. Take it, what it says, and believe it. And God will vindicate it and prove that it's right. You think it's just for the disciples? Take his word for it. Try it out once and see. I like the way he says it. Try it out once. You like that car? Well, take it for a test ride. You like what God says in his word? Take it for a test ride. He's inviting you to do it. Hallelujah. You'll find out that it will work for you just the same as he promised. Yes, sir. They won't eat on slop. They have to have sheep diet. St. John 10 declares that my sheep know my voice. And if he is the word, then what kind of a voice does he have? My sheep know my voice. Strangers will they not follow. See, Jesus said a stranger's voice they will not follow. So his sheep doesn't follow strangers' voices. They won't follow them. Prophets, shepherds, and sheep all testify of the coming. Now from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, now watch here. Here's the beautiful. I don't want you to miss this. Now everybody, and you people on tape, out of the jungles or wherever you hear it,
Now listen, as the Father has sent me, so send I you, Jesus said, see? Now watch, the Father that sent him went in him to vindicate himself, right? For he was the Word, and the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. Now, I have seen God go with me on mission trips, and I've seen supernatural. I've seen him stop storms. I've seen him change weather. I've seen a person that came to our church, God grow back a part of his foot that was removed. I've seen all these things. And you say, yeah, but that's because you're a preacher. No. Listen, my daughter Elizabeth, when she was 4 years old, she prayed for Christina when she was 3 years old. Christy had a fever, and God healed her. I said, how do you know he's healed her? Because I prayed. Just because I prayed. If you have the faith like a child and step into the Word, you watch for God to do things. The problem is you're too absorbed in either the doctrine, or the text of the Word, the mechanic, that you're not allowing the dynamics to take a hold of that mechanics. You see? Now everybody, you people on tape, out in the jungles and wherever you hear this, now listen, as the Father sent me, so send I you. See, Jesus said, see? Now watch, the Father that sent him went in him to vindicate himself, right? For he was the Word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. Father, make me an instrument of your vindication. Can you say that? Father, make me a vessel that you might use to vindicate your presence is still with us. For he was the Word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. As the Father sent me, I live by the Father, so I'll send you, and you live by me. What is he? He's the Word. You live by one Word. Oh, how I would like to take a text on that and preach about another couple hours on that, see? I wish I could just get this across to you. How many are familiar with vaccinations? Okay, what's a vaccination? I could ask Brother Peter, but we'd probably have a four-hour lecture on it. That's what he dealt with in his life. But a vaccination is basically a living cell or a deadened cell that has all the components of the living cell. And that's injected into the body so that the body can build up a resistance to either the parts of the cell that's acellular or to the live virus itself. Now, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. So what is a virus? It's filled with spirits of that virus. All right? What is this here? It's your book of inoculation. People say, you got to watch yourself here. Brother Bram, are you going to get all full of shots before you go overseas? He said, well, only if I have to by law. But he said, my inoculation is the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. He promised to inoculate me against these things. Now, I can go into the scriptures. I can find any scripture. It's a seed. I can plant that seed in me like a vaccine. And it should produce what's in that seed. All right? Well, we have a promise of being sons of God, conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Okay, I've been injecting myself daily with that. I love that scripture. I'm expecting to see me to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now you might say, well, I don't like your personality. Well, they didn't like Jesus's either. He went into the temple, he turned over tables and everything else. You're looking at it wrong. It's the Word. The Word. The Word. God is what? The Word. And the more of the Word you get into you, the more of God will be in you. Paul says we have it by measure. What measure of the Word do you have? Now we, as a bride in this hour, should have the full measure. We should have every bit of it. But you live by the Word. He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, how I would like to take that for the next 2 hours and just go with it. All right, from Queen of the South says, now you say, Brother Branham, was that what struck Paul down? Was the light? Nobody else saw it but Paul. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Is that right? He said, I come from God and I go to God. When he was here on earth, he said, I was the I am that was in the bush. So then you see, the works that I do shall you do. Now, if that angel that's got its picture on that paper, if it doesn't produce the same life, that's the one there. If it doesn't produce the same life that Jesus did when he was here on earth, that this is the wrong life. It's the wrong thing. If it produced great things of something else, then, well, that's what it is. But it'll have to produce the same kind of a life. Now look, as my Father sent me, so send I you. How many knows the scripture says that? Well, look, the Father that sent him went in him. The Jesus that sends his men goes in his men. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. And we ought to be able to say the same thing. If you don't see the works of God in my ministry, then forget it altogether. Forget it altogether. Find someone that you do see the works of God in. You see? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now, if we do not the works of Christ, then believe the message now. But I've read it out of the Bible, and if he doesn't do the same thing, then all right, he isn't the same. If he does, we'll all be happy. Now, let's pick up at John 17 and 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. This is Jesus' prayer before he went to Gethsemane. He's assembled himself with the believers. He says, and for thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they all so might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Brother Brown preached a beautiful sermon on that. He said, here was a man, 30 years old, he wanted to have a family, he wanted to be married, he wanted to have children of his own, he wanted to have all the things that other men have. But he only had 3.5 years to get these guys ready. And so he said, I sanctify myself, I have separated myself for the word's sake, for these brethren's sake. And that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither prayer for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Whose word? Well, John's word, Mark's word, Matthew's word, Luke's word, Paul's word, Peter's word, James' word. So it's not just for these 12 or 11, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions and values and judgments which thou gavest me, I've given to them. That they may be one, even as or in the same way that we are one. I, the manifestation of your word, in them. And thou, the word, in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And say, well, was one grand the Word of God? He was a manifested Word of God. That's right. Was Jesus the Word of God? He was a manifested Word of God. God is the Word. And that portion of the Word, which is the fullness of His sake, was manifested before us. In William Branham, the portion of God's Word for this hour was manifested in Him. Well, what about you? Aren't you the elect of God? Aren't you the bride of Christ? Aren't you the sons of God? Well, there's word for you, you know, that you'll be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that you'll be manifest, you'll manifest as sons of God, that you'll have the spirit of adoption whereby you don't fear anymore. Hallelujah. That's for you. That portion of that word is for you. You should be focused on that portion of that word and say, Father, I see this in the word. Where is it? I want it to be in me. I want to manifest that portion of your word. And you know what? He'll do it. Brother Russell, test drive it. See if he'll do it. He'll do it. Because he's not a respecter of persons. That they all may be one, as Father, thou art in me and I in thee. That they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the opinions, values, and judgment which thou gavest me, I've given to them. In order that they may be one, even as thou, or in the same way that we are one. I, the manifestation of your word, will be in them. And thou, the word, in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, where I am, that I may behold my glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. It's my glory, but you know what? I got it from you. Then what about that? then God's glory is now your glory. It's now your opinions. It's now your values. It's now your judgment. And the people, the world, are going to see Christ when they see you. Hallelujah. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared them unto I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now this morning we're going to find out what it means to be in Christ as we continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God, where he speaks of our being in Christ. And Brother Branham tells us just exactly what it means to be in Christ. Then once we know what it means to be in Christ, then we will understand why the old things must pass away and why everything else will become new to us. In paragraph 123, Brother Branham tells us what it means to be in Christ. He tells us it means to be in the Word. In the Word, or the anointed Word, for Christ God is the Word. And Jesus, the Son of God, was a manifestation of God's Word. And Brother Ram says in paragraph 123, we're inside of Christ. He's not talking about the vessel. He's talking about the Word, the anointed Word. Now, as then all true believers see Him, the Word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word if you can get it. See, all true believers that's in the Word see God openly. Question is, are you in the Word? You might be in church, or are you in the Word? You know, people go to church every Sunday and sometimes on Wednesdays. And it just befuddles my mind to go around the world to preach to all the different ministers and to find out that, you know, the supernatural of God just doesn't take place. You see maybe one instance out of a thousand, out of a million. Well, they have one testimony. There should be testimonies daily in your life. There should be so much God in you that all you see is God. When those three little leaves went into Brother Branham's car, he opened the door and all of a sudden there's a little whoosh. They saw those three leaves. He believed that was God. He said, oh, such silliness. It's not silly. Because when you're aware of His presence, you see Him, you feel Him. You know that He's there. David said, I have set the Lord at my right hand. I have set the Lord always at my right hand, and therefore I shall not be moved. Therefore my flesh shall rest in hope. Is your flesh resting in hope? We're inside of Christ. Now, as then, all true believers see Him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word if you can get it. My mind goes immediately to 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. That the natural man can't see the things of God. It's foolishness to him. But the man, the Spirit filled, sees God in everything. The word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word if you can get it. See, all true believers that's in the Word see God openly, and the veil's rent and God stands openly before you manifested. See, God manifested openly. In order to do this, our old denominational veils, traditional veil, must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff. See, you'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that, they say, but here it is written, and here it is made manifest. You see it? Here it is written. Here it is manifested. Didn't He say you are written epistles? Written with what? The Word of God. What is that? The Spirit of God. Don't ever dissect and say, well, the Spirit is one thing and the Word is another thing. No. The Word is the person. It's a God light, and that light expressed is that Spirit. All right. Now, we can spend the rest of our time this morning examining what it means to be in the Word, but I think you all understand that God is the Word. And the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Therefore, we are in our heart what we speak. You know, if a man lies all the time, he's just a liar. Now, if he's pressured, like Brother Bell said, you pressure me in the corner, I might lie to get out. Problem is, some people like to pressure. What are you doing here? What are you doing there? Well, it's none of your business. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by you or Tom, Dick, or Harry. they're led by the Spirit of God. You just get off the bat. All right? Now, therefore, we are in our hearts what we speak, and therefore it should not be heard to understand, it should not be hard to understand that God is the Word. You cannot have a God who is not His own Word. And therefore, when you are in His Word, you are in Him. Okay. I've covered this before in a series I taught years ago called The Garden of Your Mind, and I proved by Scripture that our thoughts, that's what we planted in our minds, are just seeds. And when we water them, they come into manifestation exactly what we planted. Okay? But the rest of this morning, I want to show you the many promises that have been given to you if you are in Christ, who is the Word. Remember, we took a series on the parables of Christ. We also took a series on the benefits of the Son of God years ago, 20-some years ago. And we showed you that every time the word Son of God is used, there's a benefit to us that's associated with that. Now, what I want to do this morning, for the rest of the morning, we don't have a lot of time left this morning, but I just want to say this. I want to show you what it means, or the benefits that are associated with being in Christ, or being in Him. From invisible union of the bride, brother, and let the Holy Spirit search your minds with the Word. You'll agree with the message. Let Christ, the anointed Word, search out your own conscience. Let Him get into you. And who is He that will get into them? The anointed Word. So when we say we are in Christ, what are we? We're in the anointed Word. What does it mean to be in the anointed Word? What will it do for me? We're going to find out in just a moment. From anointed ones at the end time, brother Master, there's your ages. But remember, the Pentecostal church in the last days was the Laodicean. And Christ had turned out the kernel, the wheat itself, when He tried. Remember, when He tried to manifest Himself in the church, He was taken out. It was still a church, claimed to be anointed. But here's the word, Christ Himself, that's the anointed Word which shall come for the rest of the body of the bride. So, who was put out of the church? Was it the man Jesus? No, it wasn't that vessel. It was the Word. The anointed Word. The manifested Word for the age. Put out. Okay, why it had to be shepherds. And Christ is the Word, the anointed Word made manifest. I want to just get this into our thinking. When you see that word Christ, just think anointed Word. For what shall we do with Jesus? I'm asking you as an individual, what do you do with the blood of Jesus Christ? What will we do with this anointed Word of God that's right before us today, that we know is to be the truth, is the Christ, the promise of the hour. Again, the anointed Word is Christ. Okay, so from Philemon, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Okay, we're talking about communication becoming effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus, or in the Word. So Paul is talking about the faith of them which are in Christ the Word, the anointed Word, and that their communication may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you, because of the anointed Word being in you and you in the Word. In other words, there's 800 promises in the Bible, right? Do you even know them? Oh, I know three. How about the other 797? I've got the book. If you need the books, I've got a book that has 800 promises in the Bible. If you want them, after church, come to me. I'll get one for you. Study them. They're promises for you. All right? You know, there's different issues in life. Well, I have a need over here, okay? Well, there's promises for that need. I have a need over here. There's promises for that need. If you're in the anointed Word, when you see the Word of God, and you call upon God, I have a need, Father, you promised me. You didn't say that you'd give me a rock or a stone. You said, I asked for fish. You said you'd give me fish. All right? I need, brother, I need a job, right? I need a job. I need to have my green card, okay? Father, I believe that you're in it. I believe that you sent me here for a purpose. So you sent me here for a purpose now. It's up to you, Father. I'm going to step into your Word, believe you for your Word, and I'm looking to see skin on that Word. I'm looking to see that Word manifested, right? I need my family over here, right? I need the financing to do it, Father. I'm praying that you would somehow help me to step into that promise so that you can bring my family here so I can be complete. You see, take God at His Word. He'll do it. He promised to do it. I'm waiting for you, Father, to do it. I'm looking for you to manifest it. I don't know how it's going to come. Might come over here, might come over here, might, but I don't. But it's going to come. Help me be open to the way it does come. All right? 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, we see plainly that grace of Christ is in Christ, which means is in the anointed word. Do I have need of grace? It's right there, John. Do I have need of grace? It's the anointed word. I want it to come out of here, reach out and embrace me with the grace that is in there. I want to be able to see it in there. I want to be able to see it out here so that I know that the word now is manifested. That grace that I need for this hour, for this moment. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. Simply put, the love of God and the faith of Christ, the revelation of Christ, is contained in what? The anointed word. 2 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ. What's in Christ? What's in the anointed word? The promise of life. You see that? The promise of life in where? In that anointed word. Now, Father, may that anointing of that promised life come out of this book and come into me. Because I'm in here. But I said, every promise of God, you've got to see yourself in the Bible. Alright? Colossians 2:5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now here Paul lets us know, not only our joy and order, but our steadfastness comes out of our faith, which is found in the anointed word. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So in other words, our rejoicing has nothing to do with our flesh, nor our confidence in self, but totally in the anointed word. Philippians 1:13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all places and in all other, in all the palace and in all other places. In other words, my bonds, because of the anointed word, are manifested in all places. In other words, as the world is getting crazier and crazier and crazier, and they're saying anything that we stand for is, they're making laws against it. But that's okay. Because we're in the anointed word. And the anointed word has promises to get us out of all those other things. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, you might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven, and which are in earth, even in Him. So, we see even the resurrection of all those in Christ, all those in the anointed word, comes from the anointed word of God. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the anointed word. When we are in the anointed word, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. I love that. Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren brought in unawares, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul speaks here of the make-believers who spy out the liberties of the anointed word of God, that the anointed word of God gives us, so perhaps they can use that liberty against us. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, in the word of God, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ, in the anointed word, I have begotten you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, in the anointed word, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Here Paul tells us our sanctification comes through Christ, who is the anointed word of God. Our sanctification comes through this word. You are washed by the washing of water by the word. How did the young man cleanse himself, the Bible says? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. 1 Peter 5:14. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ, or that are in the anointed word. Paul tells us here that there is peace for all who are in the anointed word. Therefore, the word itself is our source of peace, and never forget that God is the word. David said, I have hid thy word in my heart. I've hid thy word. Basically, I have hid you in my heart. You're there.
See,
Philemon 1:23. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. In other words, the anointed word. For it was because of the word, and Paul stands for the word, that Paul became a prisoner. Philemon 1:8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Paul tells us that even our boldness comes because of the anointed word. It was the anointed word that led Elijah to stand against the 400 prophets of Baal. It was the anointed word which led William Branham to stand before the 400 preachers up there in Chicago. It was the anointed word that was with me that could withstand the 260 ministers in Uganda. When God just, you know, they gave us a bunch of questions and God just, like my mouth was like a machine gun, and I gave three scriptures for every question they had. And there was like 15 questions in about 15 minutes, just completely answered. It was, our boldness comes because of the anointed word. When you know that you're standing with God, then all else is just, doesn't mean anything. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ, through faith, which is in Christ, which is in the anointed word. Therefore, the Holy Scripture, which contains the anointed word of God, are able to make us wise unto salvation and the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus, the word of God, shall suffer persecution. So your living godly in the anointed word will bring persecution because of your stand for the anointed word. You see, you begin to see the things of God, the manifestations of the presence of God, the power of God, when he goes with you to these places that you go, and people say, "Ah, he just wants to have signs and wonders." Listen, I just want to be in that anointed word. Because if you're in that anointed word, it's all there. The power of God is there. The life of God is there. The presence of God is there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is there. The joy of Christ is there. It's all there. Hallelujah. Just get into that anointed word. You see, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in the anointed word, in Christ Jesus, which was promised to us in the anointed word. Again, I have a book in the back. If you want the promises of God, there's 800 promises of God in the Bible for you and I, the believers. 1 Timothy 3:13. For they that have used the office of the deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in the anointed word. He speaks of deacons how that their faith or revelation brings them great boldness because it comes out of them through the anointed word of God. 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, the anointed word, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. See, whenever it speaks of Christ, he's talking about the anointed word. We read you four quotes from Brother Bram already. We're going to read one before we close, just to bring it back to your mind again. If you want to be in Christ, be in that anointed word. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ, the anointed word. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in the anointed word. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in the anointed word shall rise first. They're not in the man Jesus, but they went to the grave in that anointed word, and they'll come out of the grave because of the anointed word. Hallelujah. Here Paul speaks of the resurrection of those who have died while in the anointed word, and the anointed word in them will raise up at the time of the proving of Christ. What is the anointed word? It's God. If the same spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead is in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for ye, brethren, become followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. Paul tells us here that his suffering and those of the brethren is because of their stand for the anointed word. You see, there's your blessing and cursing. You're blessed by God and you're cursed by the devil. I'm going to show you this evening that the world is going insane, completely insane. I've had some discussions this week with some of the brethren because of things that have been done. Like over there in Europe, you know, some doctor was taken out of his position and called all kinds of evil names because he didn't consider a man to be a woman when he was treating him. And they said, "You're not sensitive. You're worse than a human. You're not sensitive to these people. I'm sorry. The man's a Christian. He has the mind of Christ. And they have the mind of Satan." We're going to get into that this evening. Now from Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in the anointed word," in Christ. Paul speaks of our perfection of maturity in the anointed word. See, when we read these, most people read that and they say, "If we are made perfect in Christ," and they're thinking the man. You're not perfected by the man, you're perfected by the anointing that was upon the man that brought him to the cross. That was the anointed word, and he, the anointed word, hung on that cross. He was the manifested word. God saw him before the foundation of the world as a bleeding, dying lamb, and there he was, that bleeding, dying lamb. That was the word of God anointed to manifest. Hallelujah. And when you begin to see that the word of God is manifesting in you, you begin to understand, I am his anointed one in this hour, or one of the anointed ones in this hour. Not false anointed, because I believe every word. I line it up with what the prophet said and what the Bible says, and I believe it just the same as he said. You see? Colossians 1:4. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the anointed word, and love unto love which ye have unto all the saints." Look, the anointed word will cause you to love people. Brother Bale went to Brother Bram and said, "You know, Brother Bram, would you pray for me? I just don't have the love that you have." Brother Bram said, "No, Brother Bale, you do have the love that I have." He said, "No, Brother Bale, Brother Bram, I don't see it." And Brother Bram said, "Well, perhaps because you don't understand what love is." He said, "Do you do the things that you do? Do you do things for people because of the people or because of your love for God?" He said, "Well, my love for God." He said, "That's what love is." Brother Bell took me outside the church and he said, "I'm going to give you a lesson on love." We were over at Brother Evans's place. Remember the little farmhouse? So we stood out there and he said, "Your brothers were inside getting the chair set up and stuff again." And he said, "Come on out, Brian, I want to teach you about love." I thought, wow, this is going to be great. So we go outside and he's standing about where these microphones are at. He said, "Now," he said, I'm going to teach you about grace, about love." I said, "Okay." And then he takes his hand and he smacks me as hard as he can in the arm, and then he begins to weep. Now I begin to weep as well, and it wasn't because of the punching, because I traded punches with my brothers before, but it was because of what I saw in the man. And then he said to me, "Now, was that God, or was that Lee Vail, or was that God?" Now think about it. Was that Lee Vail, crusty Lee Vail, or was that God motivating Leave it. When Jesus went into the temple in anger, threw over the tables, the money was spilling everywhere, those people were doing their fellow brothers a service because those people were city people. They didn't have pigeons. They didn't have lambs. They were selling them. "Oh, you can offer this, you take it to the priest and offer it up for your sins." They thought they were doing God a service, and Jesus went in his angry rage. "The zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up." Right? And so sometimes you hear Brother Bell get so angry. And you say, "Well, he ought to control himself." Well, maybe somebody else is controlling him. Maybe he's called the Holy Ghost. "And the zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up." You understand? That's what I took away from that. When you are motivated and your whole life is God, 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 then sometimes you say things that might be hard to somebody. Might be harsh. But maybe it's just God working in you to will and to do. And so you say what God puts in your heart to say. I call it that John the Baptist anointing. He got his head cut off for it. I've had that John the Baptist anointing on me before. And I get my head cut off too. People, "I don't want nothing to do with that guy. He's just too hard."
Well, maybe it's God. Brother Bell so aptly pointed out in that little illustration. Philippians 4:21.
Salute every saint in Christ. Salute every saint in the anointed word. The brethren which are with me greet you. Okay, Philippians. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ, in the anointed word. I press toward the mark of the high calling that is contained in the anointed word. What's that high calling? Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, that you may be worthy of this calling. You see? What calling was that? The endoxazo, the glory, the dose of God. Endoxa Zoe, in your Zoe, magnified in your Zoe. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in the anointed word. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, if there be any consolation in the anointed word, it will bring that fellowship, it'll bring bowels of mercies, it'll do all these things. Why is it that you have compassion on saints, brethren, believers in the anointed word, but other people in the world that are, you just say, well, you know, I mean, they're reaping what they sow. You see, it brings compassion, it brings bowels of mercies, it brings all these things. Why could William Branham even go to the world and pray for 24 hours, 48 hours down in Arkansas? Totally became a wreck after that. For people that...
Well, it's because they understand the doctrine, you see. And you go, no, he didn't pray for those that understood the doctrine. He prayed for everyone. Christ went to the cross, not just for those that understand the doctrine. He went to the cross so that all might be saved.
He expelled his life, even unto death, for everyone.
Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, the anointed word, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why is it that I can go overseas and the brethren, like Brother Gad's father, him and I love Brother Daniel. Why is it that somebody I just met the one time and then I came back again, met him, you know, came back to the church again. Why is it that there was a love there? Because we both were encompassed by that anointed word. It's the anointed word. When he saw the same revelation I'm seeing, that makes us brothers. You see? For we are the workmanship of his, we are his workmanship created in the anointed word of God, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Paul tells us, even the good works which God has ordained for us to walk in are contained in where? The anointed word. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in the anointed word. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ, which he wrought in his manifested anointed word, which was in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in heavenly place. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in the anointed word. 2 Corinthians, look, they weren't faithful in the man Jesus. They never saw the man Jesus. They never saw the vessel. But it was the anointed word that they were faithful to, that anointed word. That anointed word was in them. 2 Corinthians 12:2, I knew a man in Christ. I knew a man who was totally in the anointed word of God about 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell you, whether out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one was caught up to the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:20, look, what was it that came to Paul? It said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It wasn't the body of the man Jesus, it was the anointed pillar of fire, the anointed word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. How is the veil done away with? The anointed word does away with the veil. You were Trinitarian, you were oneness, you were Catholic, you were Pentecostal. But what happened? Did the man Jesus appear to you and take you from that? No. The anointed word showed you that veil is gone. Because when you see what that veil was, and then you compare it with the anointed word, you understand? When you compare it with the anointed word, you say, wait a minute now. I prayed to Mary. I prayed to, you know, but that's not in the Bible. You see, what was it? You're cleansed by the washing of water by the Word. Hallelujah.
Now, this is exactly what Brother Branham is speaking to us in the unveiling of God. He said, it is the manifested Word that removes the veil every time. From 125, he says, in order to do this, our denominational traditional veils must be broke by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is His Word. Always His Word is His sword. See? He took His sword that day, full of fire, and ripped that veil from top to bottom. He does the same thing with the same sword today. Not my creed, my book of creed, my catechism, but the sword of the Lord. See, it rips the veil down, and you see God standing in plain view, manifested in His Word. What a glorious view to look at. See, all right, God's Holy Spirit and fire, His sword rips it, the Word rips the denominational veil, and what's left to see? God! Hallelujah! When you get past all the traditions and creeds of just going to church and putting on a show for other men so they look at you and say, oh, isn't he sweet? When you get past all that nonsense and you begin to live your life by this anointed Word, then all you see is God. The veil tradition of unbeliever taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of His Word. See, it's His Word that rips aside the traditions. It wasn't hard for me as a Catholic boy because it was all traditions. We didn't have any Word. And when I come to the Word, I begin to see, well, wait a minute now. I mean, I got kicked out of the house because I came down and showed my parents. And wow, you know, I mean, 1973, I began reading my Bible, and I saw that the Scripture says, "Thou shalt not have any graven images." I said, "Wow, this is Mom, Dad. You know, this is what the Bible says." And I thought, "Wow, you got in a cult or what?" I was excited by the anointed Word, and I start throwing out all that stuff. Hallelujah. The veil of traditions of unbelievers takes away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of His Word. He still keeps His Word. That's why when I had my broken back and the doctor said it would be at least 6 months before it would be healed, and I saw that William Branham, by the same anointed Word, claimed his healing, swallowed down the beans, and he threw it up and caught it, and he threw it back down. He said, "I'm healed by His stripes, I'm healed." I said the same thing, "By His stripes, I'm healed." And then the next day, I got out there, and I wasn't supposed to do anything. And I got out there, and when I put on those skates, and I jumped down in the ice, it's like lightning bolt struck my body. The pain was so great, but the second step was nothing. The third step was nothing. I felt great. God, by His anointed Word, because I stepped into what William Branham has stepped into, I said that God is the same. He's not a respecter of persons. If He did it for that man, He'll do it for me. And I didn't even know Brother Branham was a prophet at that time. I had no clue. I just knew that he was like those men in the Old Testament. He could talk to God, God talked back to him. I wanted the same thing for me. I want to be able to talk to God. I want to be able to get answers from God. Hallelujah. And He's not a respecter of persons. And you should do the same. My poor little granddaughter, 4 years old, she says, "Grandpa, I'm sad." I said, "What?" She said, "Because I want to talk to God, and I want God to talk to me." And so I had to explain to her how you talk to God, and then you have to wait. And I said, "God doesn't talk to this, your ears. He'll talk to you in here. So you have to be very sensitive, be very, and you know, to teach them that thing. Teach them up in the way they'll go when they get old. They'll not depart. You see, they'll seek out God." Hallelujah. He still keeps His Word. He's the God, author of His Word, that is hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that is right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, He's still behind skin veils. Now, then we become part of Him. I really like this part. Then we become part of Him. As you are the veil that veils Him. And who is He? The anointed Word. You are part of Him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was of God, because God was in Him, made Him God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He always ties it back to John 14, 12. That's to let you know that you are part of God. That's to let you know that His same life is in you, doing the same things it did in Him. I love that. See? You become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know He's in you. You're temple in Christ, that's behind the veil of the skin. Then we come behind, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh, God hides God the Word from the unbeliever. Who's God? The Word. Is the Word in me? Then God's in you. Christ in you, what's that? What's Christ? The anointed Word. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. What's glory? The same mind. The dosa. Christ in me. It's like I was talking to a brother the other day. He said, you know, I was wondering about, he said, you've been wondering about my baptism. He said, I was baptized when I was 17 years old. And he said, you know, it was all kind of just modeled to me, you know, when I look back at it. I don't know if I was baptized right. I said, well, brother, I said, you know, I was at the tabernacle, or the voice of God, and I saw a letter. Someone said, Brother Branham, can we receive the Holy Ghost before we're baptized? And Brother Branham wrote on the envelope, said, yes, a person can receive the Holy Ghost before they're baptized in water. In fact, Brother Vail was not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ until 1964. He began following Brother Branham in 1950, began working with Brother Branham in the 50s. And then they got to talking about baptism, and Brother Branham said, Brother Lee, he said, Jesus, do you think He needed to be baptized? He said, John thought, no, you don't need to be baptized. I need to be baptized of you. But Jesus has suffered to be so. For thus I must fulfill all righteousness. If God called for us to be outwardly identified, because the baptism doesn't do anything for you, it's an outward show to the world that you have died in Christ and that you've been raised anew. Now, you might have the Holy Ghost and you say, well, I believe I have the Holy Ghost because the Word, I understand the things of God. I can see it in my life. I can see it. But thus I must fulfill all righteousness. And I just said to the brother, look, you just pray. I said, because if you were baptized with the right formula in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, you're okay. It might be just the devil getting on you, telling you, you know, things. But if there be any doubt, I'll fly out to where you're at and I'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last time I baptized a brother out there, he had to almost lay down in the river because the water was so low. I said, we'll try to work it to a place where if you can't find it, we'll just have to go to the ocean or something. If there be any doubt, he said, I'll reveal it to you. So you have that relationship with him, and he'll talk to you. And it's not going to be yelling and screaming. It'll be in a very loving way. He'll show you. Because thus it fulfills us, or thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay. Your temple in Christ, that's behind the veil, the skin. Then we become, because of the Word, the veil, again, in human flesh, hides God the Word from the unbeliever. 2 Corinthians, we're just about to close here. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always give us, causes us to triumph in Christ, in the anointed Word, and make us manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Notice that our triumph comes through God's anointed Word and makes manifest the aroma of His knowledge. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So all those who live by and through the anointed Word shall be made alive by that same anointed Word, which is life. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are also all of all men most miserable. In other words, if all the promises of God in His anointed Word are only for this life, we, like other men, are most miserable. It's not just for this life. It's to take us from this life to that other life. See? That's why all things become old, done away. We do away with all things that are old, and everything becomes new in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, in faith in the Lord Jesus, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, which be in the anointed Word, as I teach everywhere in the church out from that anointed word. 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. Ye are wise because of the anointed word. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are humble, but we are despised. Romans 9:1, I say the truth in Christ. I say the truth from the anointed word of God. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So I could tell my children years ago, I said, now, you know, if you hear Daddy say anything that's not in this word, you have a right to come to me and show me in this word where I was wrong. You say, well, how dare you tell your children that they can correct you? No, they can correct me by the word. Because it's not them, it's the word. You know, people get so uppity. You know, the preacher gets so uppity. Well, who are you to talk to me that way? Listen, it's the word. If a person has the word and says, brother, you know, I'm reading this somehow different from you because I'm seeing that the word tells me this and you're saying this. I say, yes, but the word also says this and this and this. I've seen that happen many times in the church. You see? Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which you purpose in Christ, in the anointed word. See? Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in the anointed word by the gospel. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in the anointed word. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, for in the anointed word of God, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in the anointed word. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God by faith in the anointed word. Galatians 3:17, and this I say unto you, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in the anointed word, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promises come of none effect. Galatians 1:22, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in the anointed word. Today we would say, which were in the message. Same thing. 2 Corinthians 12:19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in the anointed word. But we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, that is in the anointed word. This anointed word is so simple. If you, like Brother Vail said, you could have any 5-year-old child read it, and they would tell you that there's one God and he has a son. And yet the theologians try to make him God the Son or God and Jesus or one like your finger is one, and they just mess it all up. It's simple. The simplicity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, in the anointed word, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he which establishes us with you in Christ, in the anointed word, and hath anointed us, is God. Who establishes you in the anointed word? God establishes you. 1 Corinthians 16:24, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus, amen. My love be with all of you in the anointed word. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I protest your rejoicing which I have in the anointed word. 1 Corinthians 15:18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ in the anointed word are perished. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And even as babes when it concerns this anointed word. You see? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ, but of him are ye in the anointed word, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Romans 16:10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ, approved in the anointed word, salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Romans 16:9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, our helper in the anointed word. Romans 16:7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ in the anointed word, or in the message. Okay, we could put it that way. Romans 16:3. Meet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, but meet my helpers in the anointed word of this message, or this message. Romans 12:5. So we being many, are one in the body, are one in Christ, one body in the anointed word, and everyone members of another. Romans 8:38, nor height nor depth nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in the anointed word. Nothing can separate us from the anointed word. Romans, you see, because look, now something can separate you from the text. You know, you could be a Baptist and then become a Muslim, because that anointing in that word was never in you. But once you have become one with this word, through the anointing of that word, nothing can separate you from that. All right? I know a man that was a Baptist. He became a Muslim just because his wife was. All right? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the anointed word, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the anointed word. Our redemption comes through the anointed word. Acts 24:24. And after certain days, then Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in the anointed word. Now, in closing, Brother Bram says, we have seen a star. He says, would you deny that Jesus said himself what the Bible itself speaks out, which is Christ, the anointed word? And if the word abides in you, then you're anointed, person with the word. If you abide in me, my word in you, then you ask what you will, it'll be done for you. That's Christ in you, anointing the word for this age. Whatever age that they live, God divided his word to ages, and every time it comes that time, the churches are all scrupled up, and God anoints somebody, sends it down, and makes that word act just exactly the way he said it did. Exactly. And there's a word prophesied for this day. God's waiting to find somebody, it's not too unusual, that they can be anointed with the Holy Ghost to prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and to be a shining light to blind the eyes of the unbeliever. And they blaspheme it, would bring justice upon them. For God's law is just, and judgment can only come by his justice. And then he can condemn the world and send it away into a flame of fire like he did the Sodomites. Now notice, who is bringing judgment to this world? He said, the word which I preach will judge in the last day. Well, who's going to sit in the judgment? You and I. What is it then? It's the anointed word in you that judges and will bring judgment. We see the things going on today. We condemn it. By our opinion? Nope. By the anointed word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because you are the word. And we thank you that you entered your Son and he became the manifestation of your word. And that you've come into men like Paul and William Branham, and they became the manifestation of your word, showing that it just doesn't have to be in the firstborn son, but that it would be in all sons. And now you come into us as your sons, and you are manifesting your word through our lives. And Father, we thank you for it, for we know that Christ, the anointing, is the anointed word living in us. For Jesus said, I will be with you, even in you. And we know that it's impossible for the person, Jesus the man, to be in us. But the anointed word, which he was the man, which he manifested himself, the anointed life will be in us, even to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. I hope this helped today for you to understand that when you're reading those things in Scripture and you see the word Christ, don't be thinking about the person, be thinking about the anointing. The anointed word that was in him, the anointed word that was expressed for him. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh out of the overflow. So, you know, when we see these things in Scripture, it helps us to realize, when we tie it in with what Brother Branham said, we get the two lined up, we see that the anointed word is Christ. So Christ can be in you. It's not the person. It's his anointed word. And then when you become that anointed word, you begin to see God in all that you do. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.